Hi guys, here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK. Cygnos.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Maybe from here to that table, maybe.
When you stood on the curb and you saw that man lying, was his feet closest to you, his head or his side?
His feet, his head would be closer to me.
Did you lift the man from the ground?
No.
Did some of your colleagues?
Yes.
After you brought the stretcher or the bed to the side of the road, did you remain there on the side of the road?
They lifted him on the backboard, they put him on the stretcher, and then they pretty much immediately started moving to bring him in the back of the ambulance.
Around the area where you first saw this man lying supine on the ground, was there anything other than ground? Were there any objects in that
I'm
area?
Sorry?
Was there any objects near him?
I remember seeing a fire hydrant. That's all I can really remember.
When you mentioned that he was lying about as close to that table as you, would 8 to 10 feet be a fair estimate?
I don't know that I could say.
Okay. At some point, did you receive further directions from anybody on the team asking you to do something?
Yes. Firefighter Flamati was at, I was at the head of the stretcher with Firefighter Flamati, and he asked me to try to gather more information and kind of see what happened and what's going on.
Did you have someone that you wanted to gather information from?
Yes. There was a woman who seemed to be really concerned and involved with the patient's status, and so I just kind of assumed that this would be the person that I could try to get more information from.
Did you take a guess?
Yeah.
The person that you tried to get more information from, do you see that person in the courtroom today?
I do.
Could you point that person out and describe an article of clothing they wear?
Black suit.
And do you see where that person sitting in between?
I do, her attorneys.
Did you approach that person?
I did.
Now, you mentioned you're not a police officer or a criminal investigator. What type of information are you hoping to get generally in these circumstances?
Some basic demographic info. You can answer a lot of questions by just asking a few very simple ones. So obviously you're trying to get his name and his date of birth. And then he asks questions if the patient has a medical history, if the patient takes daily medications, if the patient has any allergies. And that's all things that can help to sort of maybe explain why this person is in the position that he's in For example, if someone says, reported that he had a heart condition or a seizure disorder or he was a diabetic, that would help us sort of, that's relevant information for us for his treatment and to pass on to the hospital.
Did you have a chance to speak with the person that you had pointed out?
I did.
When you spoke to that person, did you get a chance to ask any of those questions you would typically ask?
I did.
When you spoke to the person, what did they tell you?
She gave me his name, his date of birth. She denied him having any medical history or daily medications or allergies. I was kind of moving around. She was moving around the scene. So I was kind of moving around, trying to gather the information with her.
Did she say anything to you in addition to the typical background information that you would try to obtain from somebody?
Yes.
What did she say?
Well, I asked another question. Once we had come to a stop, I asked if there had been any significant trauma that happened that preceded this. And she answered with a series of statements that she repeated. I hit him. There was a woman next to us who told her to calm down, stop talking, calm down, you're hysterical. So she repeated, I hit him. And a police officer asked her, said, you what? And she repeated it again, I hit him. And the officer then signaled for his sergeant to come down to the scene or down to where he was.
When she first told you that she had hit him, you said there was another woman next to her. Did you know who that woman was?
Not at the time.
Do you now know who that woman was?
I do.
And who was that?
Miss Jen McCabe.
Did you know Miss McCabe at that time?
No.
Do you know her personally now?
No.
Are you friendly or friends with her in any way?
No.
You mentioned that when the defendant said, I hit him. Ms. McCabe was trying to intervene?
Yes, it appeared that way.
What did it appear she was trying to do?
Trying to get her to calm down, to stop talking. It appeared that she was...
Sustained. There was disregard that comment.
Did Ms. McCabe interject verbally?
Yes.
After Ms. McCabe interjected and the defendant made those statements about hitting him, did you persist in getting more information, asking to clarify what she meant by I hit him?
No, I did not.
Why not?
A few reasons. I felt at that point, given the situation and how disturbing, and it was a very emotional situation. The woman was very upset. I didn't feel comfortable pushing and asking for more. I just didn't think that it was the right time for that, and it was also really not my place at that point, and I feel like that was something that the police were, that's more their role.
Asking follow-up questions about what she meant by a hit him, would that have helped your diagnosis and treatment of the man in any way?
It could have.
But you made the decision to stop asking her questions?
I did.
Did you ask her any more questions after she said I hit him?
I decided not to.
At some point after you spoke to the defendant, did you go back to the ambulance and tell anybody, any of your colleagues?
I did.
And why would you do that?
That's the whole point of me trying to get more information, is that I get the information and I bring it back to the people who are treating the patient. So,
did you go back to the ambulance and repeat that information to your colleagues?
I did.
Did you have any other further role at the scene as far as helping the man or doing anything else?
No, other than I drove the ambulance to the hospital.
with the gentleman in the ambulance?
Yes.
Did you learn who that person was?
Yes.
Did you know at the time who it was?
No.
When you got to 34 Fairview, did you recognize the home when you got there?
No.
Did you later learn who lived at that home?
Yes.
Did you know somebody who had lived at that home?
Yes.
Did you know that person lived there prior to that night?
I learned that she lived there.
Okay. And that person that you knew lived there, what is their name?
Caitlin Albert.
How did you know Caitlin Albert?
We went to high school together. We're in the same grade. We have mutual friends, and growing up we had different friend groups, but those groups would often get together in bigger groups and hang out. I see her in group settings. I socialize with her occasionally. I don't have a personal relationship with her. I wouldn't consider her to be a friend of mine, but I do see her occasionally because of social events. I don't have a one-on-one. I don't have a close personal relationship with her.
Was she a friend on social media back at the time?
Yeah.
Since this event, have you been on any outings or trips with friends of hers or in a group setting where she was present?
I don't remember ever seeing her since then.
Had you ever talked to her about your role that night?
Never.
Did the fact that somebody you knew lived in that house that have anything to do with your treatment and care that morning?
Not at all.
When you saw the man in the back of the ambulance, did you make note whether he was missing any clothing items?
He was missing a shoe, a sneaker.
I'd like, with the court's permission, to play Exhibit 4, part of it.
Okay.
Ms. Gilman, if you can start at 6:13:45. Stop, please. Do you recognize whether or not you're in that video, ma'am?
Yes.
What color jacket are you wearing?
I'm in the red and yellow jacket.
Okay, continue, please. Stop, please. There are two yellow jackets, one on the left, one in the middle of the screen. Do you know which one is you?
I'm now in the middle of the screen.
Okay. Continue, please. Stop, please. Do you know who that is on the left of the screen near the flagpole?
Which one?
To the left. If you could play a few more seconds, Ms. Gilman.
It's two officers and a civilian woman.
Okay. How about on the left? Do you know who that is?
Oh, no.
Okay. That time is 6:15:12. If you could continue, please. Stop, please. Is that you, ma'am, in the yellow?
Yes.
Okay, continue, please. Stop, please. Do you see yourself on that screen?
Yes.
What color jacket?
The red and yellow.
And who's to your left?
Miss Reed.
And across from you, with the blue or black jacket with the hood, do you know who that is at this time?
Miss McCabe.
And you didn't know her at the time?
No.
Do you see the officer that's turned away from you?
Yes.
Do you know who he's speaking to?
No.
Do you know the exact moment that the defendant told you, I hit him, I hit him, I hit him?
I think it was just prior to that.
Okay, continue. Stop, please. Okay, thank you. I have no further questions.
Okay, Mr. Jackson.
Thank you.
Good morning, Ms. McLaughlin.
Good morning.
You indicated that one of the things that is paramount to the life-saving effort or the medical assistance that you and your colleagues provide is to determine what the cause is of the injury, correct?
To determine... Just to gather as much information as we can about his history and recent events that could have precipitated how we found the patient.
What you said on direct examination was, quote, what happened and what's going on, end quote, correct?
Yes.
So for instance, the what happened, you want to find out and differentiate what happened. Is it a gunshot?
Can you repeat the question, please?
Sure. When you're asking what happened or trying to determine what happened, for instance, one of the things you're trying to do is differentiate between a gunshot and a knife wound, correct?
Yes.
Or poison or ingestion of a poisonous substance or a heart attack.
Yeah, in this particular scenario, it's...
Next question.
Thank you. I'm asking about in general, when you're taking on information, trying to download information at a scene. You're trying to determine, as you said, quote, what happened, correct?
Yeah.
That's important to determine, correct?
Yeah.
You want to get the person's age. You want to get the person's date of birth. You want to get the person's allergies, for instance.
Yep.
But you also, paramount among those, you want to find out what happened. Why are we here, correct?
Yes.
Did a person fall out of a tree?
Right.
Stumble down a stair step? Correct.
Right.
In doing so, it's important to relay that information to others as well. You would agree with that, correct?
Yes.
That's the whole point, Ms. McLaughlin. You want to gather the information and then let others know exactly what happened. Document that as best you possibly can so that the life-saving efforts or the medical assistance can continue for the patient, correct?
Yeah, you have to share the information that you got with the people who are providing care.
And one of the ways you do that is by writing it down, correct?
No.
Can I ask you, who did you speak with before your testimony today, in anticipation of your testimony today?
I met with the DA's office a few times.
Who at the DA's office?
Mr. Brennan, a witness advocate, and there were different troopers there at different meetings.
What did you and Mr. Brennan discuss at these? Well, let me ask you, first of all, foundationally, how many meetings were there?
Three.
Three. When were they?
One in maybe January was just a meeting. One a few weeks ago, we reviewed the testimony from the last proceeding, And then yesterday, briefly to say that I'm getting called and I'm going today, and if I had any questions.
Let's talk about the one a couple of weeks ago. Where was that meeting held?
At the DA's office.
And you said you reviewed testimony with whom?
I watched the testimony from the first trial. It was Mr. Brennan, myself, a witness advocate, and perhaps Trooper Tully.
And at you, that Mr. point. Brennan, went over your testimony at the last proceeding, correct?
We just watched it.
Okay.
Yeah.
There obviously were questions about that testimony once you finished watching it, I'm guessing, correct?
I guess so.
Discussed certain aspects of the testimony, is that right?
Yeah.
Mr. Brennan told you that, for instance, he was going to bring out on direct examination, his examination, your relationship with Caitlin Albert, correct?
He said, I will ask you about the relationship.
And that was in anticipation of me asking about that relationship, correct?
Objection.
Sustained.
Did Mr. Brennan tell you that he wanted to make sure that he brought out that information so that it wasn't brought out on cross-examination by me?
Objection.
Sustained.
What did Mr. Brennan say about the reason he wanted to bring out the relationship with Caitlin Albert on cross-examination?
There was no reason that he gave.
But he did tell you that he wanted to make sure that y'all covered that on direct examination during his examination, correct?
Objection.
Sustained.
Did he say something like that?
No.
Did you say something like that? I would like this information brought out so it's not brought out on cross-examination?
No.
At the last hearing when you testified about a year ago, that wasn't brought out on direct examination, was it?
Objection.
Sustained.
In the approach.
Okay.
May I continue, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you. Ms. McLaughlin, we were talking about, very briefly, your testimony about a year ago. In your testimony a year ago, you did not disclose in your initial conversation the fact of your relationship with Ms. Albert, did you?
I object. I move for an instruction.
So the objection sustained. Next question.
Who was it that asked the question about Ms. Albert a year ago?
Objection.
Sustained.
Did you tell anyone, Trooper Proctor, any investigator, anybody from the DA's office last year about your relationship with Caitlin Albert?
Objection.
I'll allow that. No, only when there started to be a lot of harassment and things that insinuations and stuff that started coming out online. I had said maybe once to them that I was concerned I was being harassed.
My question, Ms. McLaughlin, was before the information was disclosed, which was during the first proceeding.
Objection.
Let's hear the question.
Before that information was disclosed during the first proceeding, in any of your interviews with Michael Proctor or anybody else from the DA's office, did you disclose, from the Massachusetts State Police or anybody from the DA's office, did you volunteer that you had a relationship with Caitlin Albert before the first proceeding?
Yeah, I'm saying I told the DA about the harassment and the insinuations. That was before the first trial when I met with them.
How was there harassment and insinuations if it hadn't been disclosed at the first proceeding?
Because it's out there everywhere on the internet and has been.
Before the first proceeding, Ms. McLaughlin, you ever testified, that's my question. Do you understand my question?
It's been going on since before the first proceeding.
If you hadn't testified at the first proceeding, at which point it was revealed, how could you have ever suffered any harassment for it? It wasn't disclosed yet, Ms. McLaughlin. Do you understand?
I don't think you understand what I'm saying.
Who did you tell at the DA's office?
The the relationship that I had with Caitlin Albert had been out there. It had been published and proliferated on the internet. And so that was before the first proceeding.
And who did you tell at the VA's office about this before the first proceeding?
I don't remember who it was or the meeting, but...
Was it Mr. Lally?
It could have been.
Do you have a memory of that?
Not specifically. I don't remember who it was.
Was it Ms. McLaughlin?
Like I said, I don't remember specifically.
Ms. Laura McLaughlin, no relationship.
Like I said, not specifically.
Let's talk about that initial call to 34 Fairview. You responded to the call of an unresponsive male in the snow. That was early morning hours of January 29th, correct?
Yes.
Once you were there, Mr. O'Keefe had been placed on a gurney and moved to the ambulance. You were instructed to go get information about the victim.
Yes.
You've described in a video the basic scene where you claim that this statement was made by my client, correct?
Yes.
That was a situation in which you're standing there, which Reed is standing there, the cave is standing across from you, and there's...
Miss Reed was on the right, Miss McCabe was on the left, and then there was a officer kind of diagonal across from me.
Okay, persons.
Yes.
This is just a still shot.
Thank you.
Ms. McLaughlin, can you tell me if you recognize the still shot depicted in that photograph?
I recognize me in it, yes.
And when is that approximately, does that approximate what you're describing as that time in which you're standing there, I'm guessing in the yellow jacket, Ms. Reed's to your right, Ms. McCabe's to your left, and there's an officer standing directly across from you?
Yes.
Is this the time that you indicate that that statement was made?
Around this time.
I'd like to have that marked as next in order, Your Honor. Court's permission.
Any objections, Mr. Brennan?
None, thank you.
Okay. May I retrieve?
Yeah.
50.
Do you remember the name of the officer that was standing directly across from you when you indicate that this statement was made?
I didn't know, but I am aware now.
But, and by the way, that officer's name is what?
Officer Sarif.
You're describing a situation in which you're standing there, Ms. Reed is next to you, within earshot, is a uniformed police officer, and she said, I hit him, correct?
Correct.
Then he said, what? Is that right?
I hit him. Miss McCabe interjected, and then she said, I hit him. And then the officer said, you what? And then she said, I hit him. And he said, go get Goody down here.
Okay, so is that three times or four times that you indicate she said, I hit him?
Four times.
And you, according to you, you indicate that at the time that Ms. Reed made these statements, she was hysterical and somewhat out of control. Is that right?
She was upset. I would say hysterical, yeah.
Did you describe her last year as obviously upset, overly frantic, and almost hysterical?
Yeah, I believe it. I remember that.
If we could play Exhibit 4.
Okay.
Starting at 9, Court's permission, starting at 9:15, about 9:46. stop it? Did you see the two people enter from screen right?
Yes.
Who is that?
That would be myself and Miss Reed.
Okay, this is the first point at which you and Miss Reed begin to converge with the other two individuals, Miss McCabe and the officer, correct?
I had started trying to gather the information prior to this, and then she was moving around, so I had kind of was following her, asking the questions, and then we eventually came, here to this point and came to a stop.
So your answer is yes. This is the point at which you converged with Ms. McCabe and
yes.
The officer.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Let's go ahead and play it.
Pause it. You see yourself sort of in the foreground of the bright jacket?
Yep.
And Miss Reed's just on the other side of you, correct?
Yes.
Standing there?
Yes.
Okay. Go Okay, we can have thoughts on. Ms. McLaughlin, during that video, that's the time in which you say, or you claimed last year that Ms. Reed was, in your words, obviously upset, overly frantic, and almost hysterical, correct?
Yes.
Did she look almost hysterical in that video?
She was, well, in that video, that could not explain what that scene was like.
Did she look overly frantic in that video?
She was frantic throughout the whole scene. I think that was me describing the entire scene.
I see.
Yeah.
So she did not look overly frantic in that video.
She was upset, okay. For sure.
Was she overly frantic and almost hysterical in that video? Just now?
I don't know that you could really see from that video.
Did you see anything that appeared to be overly frantic and almost hysterical?
Like I said, that video's not really a good, you can't hear anything, so it's hard to.
Was she running around?
She had been.
I didn't ask you if she had been.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things that happened. When she's standing there with you, was she running around?
No, she had just stopped running around.
Was she gesticulating?
I don't know.
Do you know what that means?
I don't.
Was she using her arms and going crazy? With her hands and arms and running in circles?
She had been, but like I said.
She had been.
Yeah, but
I'm
think
you about what happened before you got there. I'm asking you what happened when. I'm sorry.
Question and answer, please.
Thank you. I'm not asking you what happened before we got to that video. All right? I'm asking you about the video in which you described her previously as being overly frantic and almost hysterical. Did she look like she was just gesticulating and moving her arms and spinning in circles?
Not in that video.
Okay, thank you. And according to you, that's the point at which Ms. McCabe said, I think you need to calm down, correct?
Yes.
And according to you, that's the point at which Ms. McCabe said, you're hysterical, correct?
Yes.
Just so I'm clear, who in that video, Ms. Reed or Ms. McCabe, appeared to be doing most of the talking?
You cannot see from that video.
Who in that video
I don't know
appeared to be gesticulating with her arms? my client or Miss McCabe?
I think Miss McCabe was doing that, saying you need to calm down, you're hysterical.
Oh, the whole time she's gesticulating, she's saying, calm down, Karen, you're being hysterical, calm down, you're hysterical, and just repeating that?
She was trying to get her to stop and to calm down because of the statement she was making.
I see.
And she was trying to get her to stop, calm down.
I see, okay. So during that entire video, that was probably 40, 50 seconds or so, maybe it was a minute, that's when you're saying now that Ms. McCabe was gesticulating and saying, calm down, Karen, you need to stop making statements, calm down, right? That's what she was doing.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you'll agree that Ms. Reed was standing relatively quietly to your right, not saying much of anything.
No, what she had just said, she had seemed upset when she said that, and what she said was obviously Ms. McCabe was trying to convince her that that was not, you need to calm down, stop right. saying that.
Right in front of a police officer who never said he heard her say it.
Objection.
Sustained.
You were standing 18 inches, 2 feet from Officer Seraph, correct?
I don't know exactly.
Well, give me an idea. I mean, 2 feet, 3 feet, whatever.
He was standing near me.
And he was standing even closer to my client, wasn't he?
Yes.
At this moment, when you claim to have heard the, I hit him, repeated four times, where was Officer Flamati? I'm sorry, where's Firefighter Flamati and Firefighter Nuttall?
In the ambulance.
With the doors closed?
Yes.
And the ambulance, this is my ignorance, I'm assuming the engine was running?
Yep.
I'm assuming that there's some sort of a heating system inside that ambulance to keep it nice and warm for patients?
Yes.
Well, that was running as well?
Mm-hmm.
That yes?
Yeah.
So with that door closed, those doors closed, how many feet away, by the way, from where we're looking? How many feet away? How many yards away?
I don't know. We were fairly close to the ambulance.
Further than you and I are from each other right now, or closer?
I think closer.
Okay. How about now?
I'm not sure. The ambulance was behind us. I'm not sure how close we are.
Right. At least a few yards.
Sure.
Okay. And those doors are pretty thick, secure metal doors that lock. Is that right?
Yes.
Obviously, when you saw them, I mean, I know you don't know what was happening inside the ambulance, but when you saw them, Firefighter Nuttall and Firefighter Flamati were engaged in life-saving measures with Mr. O'Keefe, one doing the bag, one doing chest compressions, as they entered into the ambulance, which you did see, correct?
Yes.
When those doors closed, would you presume, from your experience, that those life-saving measures and their focus was on John O'Keefe, that continued?
Yes.
You testified that you went back to the ambulance at some point, and you told Firefighter Flamati and Firefighter Nuttall what you claimed to have heard. You've told this jury, correct?
I went back to the ambulance after that, and I told them what was said and gave them the demographic information that I got.
Okay. So, in other words, Firefighter Flamati and Firefighter Nuttall heard it from you. You didn't say it to somebody else, and they reported it to those two. They heard it directly from you, correct?
I went back, and I said, I gave the demographics, and I said, she's saying I hit him.
Right. So, in other words, they heard that from you.
I gave them.
Objection.
Is that yes or no?
Objection.
She answered the question. Next question.
I want to ask you a couple of questions about your relationship with Caitlin Albert. You were asked at a hearing about a year ago, back in May last year, May 3rd, as a matter of fact, 2024. About that relationship. Do you remember what your answer was?
No, not specifically.
You remember saying, in response to the question, who's Caitlin Albert? Asked by me?
I don't remember specifically what I said.
Did you say, I went to high school with someone named Caitlin Albert?
Can I have the page number and line, please?
May 3rd, transcript 10-24, lines 2 and 3. Did you say, I went to high school with someone named Caitlin Albert?
I believe so.
Refresh your recollection and take a look at your transcript?
Sure.
No, May 4th. Yes, I can.
Let me look. I have May 3.
Okay, thank you, Brennan. Thank you.
May I approach?
Yes.
Let me wait for you to
go. No. You see that?
Yeah.
May I?
No. Yes.
Did that refresh your recollection as to what your answer was to the question, who's Caitlin Albert?
Yes.
Did you say, quote, I went to high school with somebody named Caitlin Albert?
Yes.
Ms. McLaughlin, that was not a full and accurate statement of your relationship with Caitlin Albert, correct?
I object.
Was that accurate?
I mean, that's a fact. That's
okay, next question.
Yeah, all right, I'd like to be seen.
All right.
Mr. Jackson, why don't you go?
Go ahead. May I go?
In answer to that question, the open-ended question, who is Caitlin Albert, you didn't offer up in that first initial response, you didn't offer up, you didn't say we're friends, did you?
We're not.
You didn't say that we are in the same friend group, did you?
No.
You didn't say we've been friends since high school?
No.
You said I went to high school with someone named Caitlin Albert, correct?
Yes.
Almost as if you just saw her name in a yearbook.
Correct? No, I don't agree with that.
That's not true, is it? I mean, that wouldn't be true, correct? Because you did know Caitlin Albert.
That is true. And you asked me if I knew her, and I said yes. And you asked me if I'm friends with her, and I said I wouldn't say friends.
You wouldn't say friends?
Right.
Even as you sit here today, you would not say that you're friends with Caitlin Albert?
No.
You wouldn't say that you've been friends for years?
We've known each other for years.
That wasn't my question.
We've known each other for years, but we are not close friends. We don't have a relationship, just her one-on-one. It's just group settings.
You grew up in the same town together, correct?
We did.
Went to the same middle school together?
Correct.
Went to the same high school together?
Yes.
You socialized with her?
Yes.
You've taken day trips with her and others?
Yes.
You've taken beach trips with her and others?
Yes.
You've taken 4th of July weekend getaways with her and others?
I don't remember that, but...
One of your best friends named Michaela actually lived with Caitlin Albert at college, didn't she?
Yes.
And you visited your best friend at that residence where she lived with Caitlin Albert on more than one occasion, didn't you?
Yeah, occasionally I would go to visit the friends that I had there.
You would even spend the night in the apartment with them, correct?
Maybe a handful of times, yes.
You've taken photographs with Caitlin Albert, correct?
I'm in pictures with her, yes.
You've been to baby showers with Caitlin Albert over the years.
I have attended a baby shower with her, yes.
And celebrations with her over the years. Correct?
Yeah, we socialize, like I said, group settings, social events. I will see her.
Your Honor, may I approach?
All right, briefly.
Okay.
Just a moment, sir.
Yes. Just got him.
Thank you, Your Honor. May I approach briefly?
Yes.
May I stay by the witness stand just so I can take the photographs back? Can you describe, first of all, take a quick glance through that series of pages and tell me if you recognize what's depicted in those pages. How do you recognize, generally, how do you recognize those documents? What are they?
Objection.
The objection is sustained.
Are those photographs?
Objection.
Yes. Oh.
The photographs. Next question.
Who's depicted in the first photograph?
Myself.
Objection. Do you see, is every one of those photographs include you?
Objection.
Sustained.
Does every one of those photographs include Caitlin Albert?
Objection, I'd like a curative
sustained.
Instruction.
Sustained.
The reality is, Ms. McLaughlin, your relationship with Caitlin Albert goes back not just weeks or months or years, it goes back a decade or more. Matter of fact, more than a
decade. I grew up, we live in the same town, so we went through all the same school systems and everything.
May I approach?
Yes.
I can have this, please. The reality is you did more, Caitlin Albert, than simply go to the same school system. Is that right?
Yes.
One of these photographs has you on vacation with Caitlin Albert drinking, correct?
Sustained.
You've been photographed with Miss Albert on many occasions at many celebrations with your girlfriends, correct?
Like a sidebar, please.
I'm going to allow that.
Is that right?
Been photographed on occasions with her.
On occasions, yes.
That wasn't my question, Your Honor.
Oh, go ahead, ask.
My question was, you've been photographed on many occasions and many celebrations with Caitlin Albert and your girlfriends, a group of girls that you just looked at.
Yeah.
And those include, as we went over just a second ago, 4th of July vacations, correct?
I'm not sure the dates on them.
I didn't ask you about the dates. I don't know the dates either.
Well, but I don't know that was a 4th of July celebration. I'm not sure.
Do you see a beach photo with American flags in the background?
I'm objecting.
Sustained.
So you've had those photographs represent some of the celebrations that you have had with Caitlin Albert and others in your friend group, correct?
I'm objecting.
Sustained.
You've gone on overnight vacations with Caitlin Albert, isn't that right?
There was one that I can remember, one overnight that I can remember with a big group of people.
Who was that? Where was that?
That was in Maine.
It was in Bethel, Maine, wasn't it?
Could have been. It was in Maine.
Have you been to more than one vacation in Maine with Caitlin Albert?
No, I don't know. That's the name of the town. I don't remember.
You've indicated that you've had baby showers where you've attended with Caitlin Albert, correct?
I was invited to a baby shower, not Caitlin Albert's, but she was also invited to the baby shower.
Right, and the two of you posed for a photograph together, correct?
We posed around the girl that was having the baby.
Right, you and who else?
A bunch of other girls, her friends.
Right, was one of them Caitlin Albert?
She was in the photo, yeah.
She's standing right next to you in the photo?
She could have been. Is that in there?
Next question, Mr. Jackson.
May I approach?
No. Next question.
You just looked at a photograph.
I just glanced through them. Sorry.
The objection is sustained.
The reality is, Ms. McLaughlin, your relationship with Caitlin Albert is far more than simply somebody that you went to high school with. Isn't that true?
I described what it is.
Do you stand by your testimony that Caitlin Albert is, quote, somebody I went to high school, I went to high school with somebody by that name?
I said that, and I described the relationship numerous times throughout that testimony to clarify it.
And you clarified it under questioning by me, correct?
Yes. And Mr. Lally. He asked follow-ups.
And in fact, you were shown some of these photographs last year, too.
Objection.
Sustained.
The reason you clarified it is because you were confronted with photos of yourself last year, correct?
Can you repeat the question?
Sure. The reason you clarified it, as you just testified, your relationship, is because you were confronted with photographs of you and Caitlin Albert last year, correct?
I just answered the questions that you had.
Right. And you were shown photographs last year.
I was, yes.
There's also another member of the Albert family that you've spoken to about this case, isn't that right?
No.
January 30th, 2022, you were contacted by a member of the Canton Police Department to set up an interview, weren't you?
No, I was not.
You remember being contacted by anybody to set up an interview with Michael Proctor?
The state police called me, and I met with two state troopers. I don't know which one of the troopers called me to set up the interview.
Isn't it true that it was actually a Canton police officer who coordinated that interview with you?
I have no knowledge of that at all.
Isn't it true that the Canton police officer who set up the interview with Massachusetts State Police and coordinated that interview was a detective named Kevin? You remember that?
I have no knowledge of that.
Isn't it true that Brian Albert has a brother named Kevin Albert on Canton Police Department?
I know that now.
Isn't that who coordinated your interview with Michael Proctor?
I've never spoken to Kevin Albert, ever.
If you can't remember who it was that set up the meeting, how can you say with such specificity?
Because it was the state police called me. The state police called me. It was a state trooper.
Can you wait till I'm finished with my question?
Hold on 1 second.
Oh, sorry.
If you can't remember who it was that called you specifically, how can you say with such specificity that you've never spoken to Kevin Albert?
Because I have only ever talked about this case with a state police trooper. So there were two of them there when I went for the interview. I don't remember which one called me, but I've never been contacted by anyone in the Canton police about an interview or about the case. So I know it's not. I just don't know which state trooper it was that called me.
Did you talk to Mr. Brennan about this issue when y'all met?
No, I did not.
This issue never came up?
No.
About Kevin Albert or the Massachusetts State Police or your first interview?
No.
You remember testifying about this last year?
I remember you asking me about who coordinated the interview.
And now as you sit here, you're saying it was absolutely 100% Massachusetts State Police that coordinated that interview.
I only ever spoke to the state police about that interview. I wasn't contacted by anyone else to go in for that interview.
Are you saying that you now have a specific memory of how that interview was set up and that it was Massachusetts State Police?
My only memory is...
Do you have a memory or do you not?
Can she answer the question, please?
I don't really get the question.
Can you answer my question?
I don't understand the question.
Ask it again.
Sure. Are you saying as you sit here now that you have a memory of how that interview was set up and it was by a Massachusetts State Police officer?
I always had a memory that it was a state police officer.
Okay.
I don't know which one. That's why I said I don't know.
Isn't it true that last year you were asked that very similar question? This is at 10-56, lines 10 through 15. Question, do you recall being contacted by a completely different officer to say, hey, Trooper Proctor wants to talk to you. Come on to Cabin PD. He wants to have an interview. Answer, I don't remember exactly how the interview was set up. Remember that?
Right.
So as you sit here, you now have a specific memory that that interview was set up by Massachusetts police officers.
That's the only memory I have of it. And when I said, I don't know, you said somebody other than Proctor, and I didn't know if you were referring to the other state trooper that was there, because I didn't remember specifically who called me to come in for the interview. But I've never spoken to anybody in the Canton police about that interview or the setup.
In fact, Kevin Albert is Brian Albert's brother.
I'm aware of that now.
You're aware that Kevin Albert is Caitlin Albert's uncle?
I guess so.
How many conversations did you have with anybody before you actually sat down with Michael Proctor? Either in anticipation of setting up the interview or otherwise?
None. I think once I got the call, I just called my chief that they're asking me to come in. And that was that.
And you got the call from whom?
I don't know which state trooper called me.
But as you sit here now, you're very specific in your memory. It was a state trooper.
I only ever met with state troopers, and no one from the Canton police ever contacted me about an interview, setting up an interview.
During your interview with Michael Proctor, did you disclose to Trooper Proctor that you had a pre-existing relationship with any member of the Albert family?
No.
Did Michael Proctor disclose to you during that interview that he had any kind of relationship with the Albert family?
Objection.
Sustained.
I want to talk to you for a second about your role when you did, in fact, arrive at 34th Fairview, Ms. McLaughlin. How long had you been a firefighter paramedic at that time, January 29th, 2022?
Probably about 5 years.
You said that you'd responded to hundreds, you believe it's possibly hundreds of calls, is that right?
Possibly.
How many were homicides or potential homicides?
None that I know of.
This would be the first one of January 29th, 2022, is that right?
Yes.
And obviously, if you had never responded to a homicide before, you certainly had never responded to a homicide police officer before, correct?
Correct.
I think you indicated as much on direct examination that you are not and are not now a trained detective, is that right?
Right.
You never conducted any sort of a formal investigation, formal criminal investigation, had you?
No.
You hadn't been trained, you had no advanced training on how to preserve or interpret statements or memorialized statements for evidentiary purposes?
No.
Or for the use in trial, things of that nature?
No.
In fact, your role that morning was just to provide medical assistance and pretty much nothing else, is that right?
Yes.
And you'll agree that it was a somewhat chaotic scene, right?
Yes.
Lots of first responders on scene, right?
Yes.
Everybody working furiously, or at least people working furiously to provide life-saving measures to John O'Keefe, is that right?
Yes.
People were talking over each other. There was a cacophony of engine sounds and noises coming from people talking and trying to speak over the wind and the howling, the driving snow and wind that was coming down, snow that was coming down, is that right?
Yes.
You could hear people in the background, in the foreground, people talking over each other.
Yes.
Emotions, your emotions, everybody else's emotions were on high alert, is that right?
Yes.
So you were trying to do your job under pretty intense pressure and in a very limited context, correct?
Yes.
You didn't have a tape recorder with you when you were asking my client any questions, did you?
No, of course not.
So audio recording of that conversation you claim took place between you and Ms. Reed, is that right?
Not that I know of.
And you've already indicated that you didn't even follow up with a single question when she responded in the way that you've indicated she responded, correct?
Yes.
The words you claim you heard were, "I hit him," is that right?
Correct.
It's your experience that people under pressure, people under stress, because you go to high stress situations all the time as a firefighter, paramedic, correct?
Correct.
People in those kind of situations speak in broken sentences or rhetorical questions, correct? Not uncommon.
People react differently at, yeah, different scenes.
But you certainly wouldn't say that that's uncommon. Oh my God, what happened? What happened? Things of that nature.
No.
Did you hear my client ask the question of confusion or a series of questions of confusion? Could I have hit him? Did I hit him?
I did not hear that.
You never heard her say anything close to, did I hit him or could I have hit him?
I did not.
Ms. McLaughlin, where are your notes regarding this statement?
I don't have any.
Where'd they go?
It's not my, in the role that I was in, I'm not in a position to write a report on this type of call. It would be the lead paramedic or the officer on scene.
So you didn't write anything down? You didn't have any opportunity to write anything down?
I didn't.
You're just going by your memory?
Yes.
I'd like to play Exhibit 4, starting at runtime 8:50.
Okay.
Just to orient us, can you tell me where you are in that video?
I might be in the middle there, although I didn't get a good look.
With the yellow and the red?
Yes.
Okay. I'd like you to pay special attention, Ms. McLaughlin, to your right and your left hands as this video plays. Could we go ahead and play it? Pause it. What are you looking down at?
Oh, I see what you're saying. I would write like stuff on my glove. That's something I'll do as I'm getting the information. Was that your question about notes?
So you were taking notes?
That's just me jotting down the demographics.
Let's keep playing. Is this still the part of the interaction where my client is overly frantic and almost hysterical?
That's the point where your client started to make the statements.
Was she overly frantic and almost hysterical?
She was distraught.
Okay. Overly frantic and almost hysterical. We're using different words. I'm asking you about your words. Does this describe her as overly
I think the overly frantic and hysterical, I was describing the entire scene.
So you'll agree that she doesn't look overly frantic or hysterical?
Again, hard to say from a video, but...
And according to you, well, that's actually, Ms. McLaughlin, it's easiest to say from a video, isn't it? It's a video.
Yeah, I mean, she's kind of, she's not totally in view, and I mean, she wasn't standing there calmly, I guess.
Right, she looks hysterical to you.
She was upset. Okay. She was very upset.
Hysterical?
I might say hysterical. She was extremely upset.
Okay, and this is the point which Ms. McCabe is saying, calm down, you're being hysterical.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go ahead and play it. We'll pause it. So you indicated that this is the point at which, and we can leave the lights down for a second, I'm gonna play it again. This is the point at which, you said my client had just said, I hit him, I hit him. basically confessing to having hit John O'Keefe, correct?
Those are the statements she'd made.
And Officer Seraph is standing right there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You see any reaction from him right there?
I know he turned and told somebody to go get the sergeant. I don't know if that already played. I'm sorry?
Do you see any reaction from him?
He responded, "You what?" And she repeated it again, and then he told someone to get the sergeant.
I know what your statement is. I know that's your testimony. I'm asking about the video. Do you see him reacting right here?
You'd have to play it again. I wasn't looking at that part.
Do you see him handcuff my client?
Oh, no.
You see him call anybody over to handcuff my client?
He turned to signal to get Goody down here is what...
So they handcuffed her?
No.
Right. They didn't handcuff her?
No.
Even though she just confessed in front of a police officer, according to you.
That's what she said.
I hit him. It's my fault. I did it. That's a confession, correct?
She said, I hit him.
And Officer Seraph just stands there, and my client walks away, correct?
You'd have to talk to Officer Seraph about that.
Oh, we have.
You should.
Mr. McLaughlin,
objection to this.
So, let's move on. Mr. Jackson, I'm not rushing you, but how much longer do you think you'll be?
Not long.
Okay, so...
I can wrap it in a couple of minutes.
Okay.
Toward the end of this video, Your Honor.
Are you playing it again, or should we put the lights on?
If we can play it again.
Okay.
Continue. Pause it. You appear to be writing something down?
I could be.
And according to you, you're writing on your glove?
Yes.
Okay. What kind of glove?
Just a regular latex glove that we use on the ambulance.
You didn't have a notepad?
I probably did. Sometimes it's easier to just write it down on your glove.
Right. Did you write, "I hit him" on your...
No, I did not.
Still in play. Still appear to be writing something down, looking down at your glove?
I might be looking at it.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. Yep, that's good. Then I stare at a red light. It's the kind that helps your cells positively glow. Oh, wow, really bright, okay. Next, I take an ice bath. That's how you melt your fat and fix your, I don't know, other stuff. Ooh, yep, feeling super healthy. Can't feel my toes. Breakfast is raw liver. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's SIGNOS.com with code SPARK. Cygnos. Yeah.